Hey everyone, glad you tuned back in to this podcast. Today we have Pastor Kirk Henderson, the one and only. So we're excited to be able to download a little bit more information that will help sharpen your tools to be able to effectively minister to people in a way that is God-honoring and helpful to them. One of the things that, as I was growing in the Lord very early on, Pastor Kirk, I had a mentor. And I asked him this question one day, and I said to him, how do you really do this thing called Christianity? Like, if I really want to be good at this, if I want to be the greatest Christian that ever lived, what advice would you give me? Mm-hmm. And so I was expecting some kind of super spiritual answer. Well, you need to pray 4 hours a day, and you need to memorize the New Testament or something like that. You need to go to church more. You need to share your faith. So I'm looking for a spiritual response from this amazing pastor that had mentored me. And here were the words that he said, and I will never forget them. And he said this. He said, Tony, if you want to be a great Christian and effective in your walk, you're going to need to learn how to master your emotions.
Wow.
Man, that blew me away when he said that. Because I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. What does mastering your emotions really have to do with Christianity and living your life for Christ? And obviously, years later, I totally understand. That is a huge part. And so today, we're going to be talking about how do we do that?
Yes.
How do we manage our emotions? And so, Pastor Kirk, would you mind unpacking how do we begin doing that? What do we do?
Right. In our previous podcast, Pastor Tony, we talked about the notion of the cognitive triangle and understanding that behaviors and feelings come and originate from thoughts. Right. And if we're going to manage our emotions, we really have to manage our thought life. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we need to be transformed, that our minds need to be transformed into the image of Christ. And so our job is to align our thoughts with the Word of God and let the Word of God change our thought processes. One particular part of managing emotions is really understanding the nature of loss and how loss so greatly affects so many people. Mm. When we talk about loss, really the first thing that likely comes to mind is the death of a loved one.
Right.
And wow, we've so experienced that so much in the church, haven't we?
Yes.
The funerals and caring for people, ministering to people. Losing a loved one is such a devastating time in a person's life, as it naturally would be. This, however, is not the only type of loss that people experience. I remember directly after Hurricane Katrina, how many people lost their lifelong jobs.
Mm, it's true.
Their careers were ended in one day right after that hurricane.
Wow.
Careers had ended. Homes where people grew up in for 30, 40, 50 years were wiped out by the hurricane, Pastor Tony.
Wow.
So all the memories and the love and the thoughts that were attached to those homes were just gone, and people experienced a deep, deep loss, and they're grieving the loss of their home. They're grieving the loss of their careers.
Mm.
They're grieving the loss of not having sufficient funds coming in every day.
Right.
So these are very real types of loss. Another loss we don't often talk about is the loss of going through a divorce.
Mm. It's true.
When we get married, we don't plan on getting a divorce. That's not anywhere in the marriage ceremony, is it?
I hope not.
We're going to do this for 7 years, and then we'll get tired of each other, and we'll go our separate ways.
Right.
So we typically plan on a lifelong adventure of love, romance, and enjoying that other person. And when that idea and that thought and that desire comes to an end, this marriage that we had invested so many years in, and time and money and effort and sweat, blood and tears.
Mm-hmm.
When it finally comes to an end, we experience a devastating loss when people go through a divorce. So we need to be aware when we're talking with people and interacting with others that loss comes in many different forms, and we have to be aware of and be compassionate toward these things.
Good. So what you're saying then, really, loss triggers a lot of emotions.
Oh, yes.
It triggers anxiety.
Yes.
It can trigger anger. It can trigger feelings of loneliness, abandonment. So, you know, so loss really is, apparently, is a large part of our emotional connection. You know, it seems like almost it's almost the hub, kind of, if you
really
will.
So is.
When you lose something, it triggers some type of a response, emotional response.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And we do see that when people are grieving and going through a loss in their lives, it's just really important to be careful about how we talk to people.
Yeah.
Sometimes, Pastor Tony, you know, our words are simply trite and insignificant. Sometimes our words can be hurtful and unfeeling about what a person is truly, truly going through when they've encountered a loss. I found with so many of us, so many people, that we are quite uncomfortable with another person's grief.
Right.
And so our natural inclination is to hurry that grief along.
It's true.
If a loved one has died, if someone has gone through a divorce, if they've lost a home, if they've lost a career, so many times we encounter that person and we say, hey, time to get back on track. Come on, get back on the bus.
Right.
You know, you've fallen off the horse, time to get back on.
Right.
And we want that person to succeed. We want them to be successful. But we forget that that's not really what they need from us.
That's right. So what would be the one hint, the one piece of advice you would give us as to the most effective way to help people process loss? What would be the one thing you would say that can help us?
The one thing I would say is that you just need to understand that when someone has gone through a devastating loss, your words really don't matter. It's never, never easy to know what to say. And when you say it, there's no guarantee that there's going to be any quick fix for that person who's gone through a devastating loss.
Right.
The important thing is not what you say, but what you do, rather, in this time.
Good.
Just being with a person, just being there and available. And if you're going to say anything, say something like this: oh, my friend, I am so sad. I am so sorry this has happened to you. I can't imagine what you're going through. Sister, brother, I just want you to know I'm here for you.
Good.
If you need to call me,
yeah.
Is there anything you need to do? Is there anything I can get you? I'm here for you.
Good.
And you just kind of show up every now and then. Put your arm around them. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? Are you feeling okay today?
Good.
Anything you want to talk about? So we don't need to go to people with these trite sayings like, well, you know, they're better off and they're with the angels now. Or... you'll get by somehow. God's going to do this for you. All things work together for good. These are all, some of these things may be true, but it's not what they need. And so they just need you.
That's good.
They need your love and support.
That's
really what they need.
Excellent. And you know, I think that's absolutely true. And I appreciate the fact that you reiterate that it's a person's presence.
Yes.
That really makes the difference. Not a person's speech or ability to articulate something that's important. So just being there. I think that's what gives me hope to know that the scripture says that God is an ever-present help in time of need. That means that every time I'm going through something, God is there. He doesn't even necessarily have to say anything. Just knowing that God is there is enough. Brings enough or creates enough courage in my soul to be able to make it through. So that's really important. One last thing I did want to ask you, Pastor Kirk, is I see that I think we have a tool, right? That you use in helping people process through these types of things. Could you elaborate on that for a minute?
Yes. Again, it's a fancy name based off of a famous psychologist, but it's the Kubler-Ross grief cycle. And it just helps you understand basically the phases people go through when they're grieving. The first phase is denial. I don't know if you've ever come upon anyone who's gone through a terribly traumatic situation. They're kind of in shock. When someone dies, we're kind of in shock. It's kind of surreal, isn't it? The second phase is anger, frustration. Sometimes it might feel like irritation or anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And you're angry that this person is gone. You're angry that you've lost your job. You're angry.
Mm-hmm.
The next phase that comes around is depression, or You might actually feel helpless. You might feel extremely sad. Then from there, it goes to bargaining. Mm-hmm. We struggle to find meaning. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my friend? And we reach out to others, and we're struggling to find the why question and get it answered. And then ultimately, Pastor Tony, the goal for everyone going through a terrible grief time is the goal is simply to accept the loss. That's not going to be an immediate thing, but once we accept the loss, we are able to move on. Yeah. And that's actually a healthy thing at the appropriate time.
It is. Excellent. Well, thank you again, Pastor Kirk, for being with us and for sharing your thoughts related to managing emotions, especially as it relates to loss. Thank you. Sure. Hey, guys, we'll see you next time.